All right, guys, we're going to continue looking at the book of Ephesians in the first chapter. I'm going to start reading in verse 7 here, and we're just going to read a couple verses here and go through it today. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. That's what we'll look at today. It's just verses 7 through 10 in chapter 1. And it's more of what we have said. You'll see this all the way through. The incredible blessings of being in Christ. The great promises of who he is and what he is doing and has done. The incredible blessings that we have in him. What does it mean to be in him? And in being built up in him. These are the themes. I've told you to kind of circle that everywhere. You see it in the book of Ephesians. Verse 8, he has lavished upon us all wisdom and insight. All with, like, not just a little bit, right? This is a contrast to Genesis chapter 3, where there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you'll see this kind of throughout here in Ephesians, that God is giving us all the things that we try to take for ourselves and do wrong. He gives them to us in Christ, the true things. And everything else is like this counterfeit thing that we look for. Okay, in him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In him. Not in our own strength, not in any other religion, not in any ritual, not in attending some church building, not in paying some tithe or making some sacrifice. In him we have this. All false religion is thrown out by that one little phrase, in him. Okay, is your significance and identity found in Christ? That's the question. Is it? If it is, then he's lavished these things upon you. You have it all you need if you're in him. You can be built up. A church that's in him, man, has everything. Has all of it, okay? In him, redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches. Riches, like rich wealth, like incredible. Of what? Riches of his grace. It's in him. It's all about him, okay? Which he lavished upon us. It's his. He lavished upon it. Lavish means he dumped it out, man. He poured it out. It was a lot. It wasn't just a little small bit, okay? Who did he lavish it upon? Upon us, okay? All wisdom and insight. Verse 9, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Okay, so I said it a second ago. There is a running theme in Ephesians about mysteries and knowledge and wisdom and everything else. And it points all the way back to Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. And it also points to the city of Ephesus itself. I told you that Ephesus was the center of Artemis worship, or Diana worship, if you use Greek versus Roman goddess names. It's the same false goddess, okay? And this was known as a mystery religion or a mystery cult. And you might remember, if you're reading in Acts chapter 19, I'll show you this passage, they have a big riot because so many people are coming to faith in Ephesus. It's a big church. It's a growing church in Ephesus, a big one. The building isn't, I know they don't seem to have a building. The building that Ephesus is known for is this gigantic temple to Artemis, okay, seven wonders of the world. But if you read Acts 19, a number of those who had practiced magic arts, that's this mystery religion, sort of fake cult stuff, this Artemis worship, brought the books together and burned them in the sight of all. They counted the value of them. It came to 50,000 pieces of silver. The word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Okay, there is a major movement going on here. And if you read back up, we're not studying Acts 19 today, but there's demonic forces at work here. Remember, false goddesses and these little statues that people worship aren't just statues. They're statues of demons, okay? And so there's all kinds of stuff going on in Ephesus. It's known as a mystery religion. But let me catch up to where I'm really intending to go. They have a big riot about this because people are no longer, Demetrius the silversmith is making these little statuettes to worship and he's losing business, right? Okay, so they have a riot in verse 35, Acts 19. The town clerk quieted down the crowd. He said, "Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of Ephesians is a temple keeper of the great Artemis and of the sacred stone that fell from the sky? Seeing then these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing wrong." Okay, so he goes on and on. But look at that. Why is the temple of Artemis in Ephesus? Why is it there? Well, Ephesians is the temple keeper of the great Artemis and of the sacred stone that fell from the sky. Okay, now that is a little phrase that he throws in there that people get all bugged out about. Scholars, what sacred stone fell out of the sky? What's he talking about? What happened there? And I wasn't there. I don't know. But my assumption is it was some sort of, it was a meteorite of some sort. But in any case, people saw something fall out of the sky and they built a gigantic temple around it and said that was the goddess Artemis coming to Earth. You know, some bright flash when these things come landing in. The sacred stone that fell from the sky, let's worship it. It was scary. It was incredible to watch. Maybe the Earth shook a little bit when it landed. All kinds of little myths and urban legends would arise out of stuff like that. And so they built up a gigantic temple around this place, and they worship it, and everybody in the world knows about this gigantic temple, okay, and they're very proud of it. All right, it's a mystery religion. A sacred stone fell out of the sky. Okay, great, so something fell out of the sky, and it was pretty interesting looking. Should we worship it? Should we build a temple around it? Come on. I mean, that's ridiculous to you and I, and yet when people feel like they are not in control of the world around them, and when people feel like they don't know truth from fiction, fact from fiction, and when people get all confused, everybody built in has some capacity for worship, some desire to worship something greater than themselves, some fear of the unknown, and everything else. And these things work together, and they create all kinds of false religions and false superstitions and stuff. Okay, and Paul is laying this out in Ephesus. He's telling them, look, all wisdom, all knowledge come in him. He's lavished these things upon us. You don't have to worship some stupid rock that fell to the sky in this nonsense and garbage mystery religion. We have truth. We don't have to have confusion, all right? And like I said, it goes back to Genesis 3, where they look at that fruit, and they trusting in their own eyes, it looks good and desirable to make one wise, right? Isn't there a temptation in your life to be wise, to be smart, to find out how to do it yourself and how you can be like God, knowing good from evil and everything else? That's what every religion in the history of the world has been about. And Christ gives us his wisdom and his knowledge. Satan says, when you eat of it, you'll be like God. God knows that when you eat of it, you'll be like him, knowing good from evil. He's like withholding it. No, he's not withholding it. He's offering it to us in himself. We're the ones that are trying to always just snatch it and grab it out of other stuff that is never going to be found in the first place. Worshiping rocks falling out of the sky, eating fruit, disobeying God. Every time you go off in your own direction thinking, I'm smart, I know what I'm doing, this will get it done for me, this is the right call, this is the right way, and it's not in Christ, it's sin, and it's mystery religion, and it's falsehood. And that's why the world around us is so hopeless. That's why they worship ridiculous celebrities and sports athletes and stuff that have nothing to offer at all, other than one particular set of skills that, for some reason, people idolize it. That's why people will listen to some expert come on TV and tell everybody how to do it and what to do, because they're desperately looking for answers. And if they don't fall for this guy, they fall for that guy. And we're in just a big mess. And Paul says, in that context, in a context of a world that's all astray, that's believing every random garbage idea that gets reported, if everybody's running in all directions, secure in their direction, but they're completely wrong, the church has to be in Christ. Let's be in Christ. Let's get all our wisdom from Christ. Let's get all our knowledge from Christ. He's lavished these things upon us. He is the one who gives us forgiveness from trespasses. He is the hope. Let's be in him. Okay? I hope that makes sense. I'm going to show you some more of this sorts of the ways it ties in here with Genesis 3 here over the next couple sections. But for now, let's just get in Christ. Let's be in Christ. Let's find our identity in him. Let's find our significance in him. Let's find our meaning in him. Find our answers in him. Find our knowledge, our wisdom, our forgiveness of sins in him, entirely in him. Let's do it that way. That's what the Bible says. and the culture around us, man, if we know the truth and stand on the truth, when they are looking for truth, they'll come to us. If all we're doing is the same fake news garbage everybody else does, well, then forget it. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I'll continue this. I'll share you another video for tomorrow. God bless.